used to call people real early. Oh my gosh. Gotta love them. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We come to you, Father, because you're Father. You're a good Father. You've got it all. And we just come today, Father, and I pray that everyone in this place, everyone who's just listening this morning, that you would open their eyes, their ears to heart, their heart, Father, to hear what you have to say. Because I believe there is words for due seasons. And I believe your word sets us free, brings light and revelation. I thank you for that. And Lord, I'm asking you for me. I'm going to pray over me. I thank you, Father, that I have done my part to study and to just do what I need to do. I thank you, Father, you give me words that reveal only you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, you know, I'm so young, and I was a teenager in the 60s and 70s. What? And, you know, we had words, like the key word back then was groovy. Some of you, yeah, who knows that? Some of you are like, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. Thank you, Mark Salmon. Yes, okay. In the 80s, the word that everybody was using was bodacious. And just, now you don't even know, never even heard that. I'm looking at this bunch. They're looking at me like a dog to a new pan. Okay. Teenage Mutant Dudes? Okay. So the word in the world, and when I say world, y'all know I'm talking about those who have not received Jesus. So it's just, I'm using that word. So the word in the world today, not in the church, is identity. Right? Y'all hear identity. We got political identity. We've got religious identity. We've got gender identity. We've got social identity. We got race identity. And as soon as I say that, Pastor D, you better watch out what you're going to say. I'm not preaching on any of those today, okay? But what I want to say is we are living in a world or a culture, if you like that better, and they're slapping labels on all those things I just said. And you can't be mad at them, all right? You can't be mad. They don't know, all right? They don't know that is that, well, if we make more laws about race identity or more laws about gender identity, it's going to fix it. It's not going to fix it. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7, the more laws you make, we're going to sin bigger. Yeah, he said that. So laws don't work. Laws don't help, all right? So, but what does help is knowing the truth. And the truth is this, okay? It's this, all right? So today I want to talk about what the Bible has to say about identity. What the Bible has to say about identity, okay? And today I'm going to lay a foundation, and we're going to do, actually, I have been waiting 3 years. Have you ever, like, oh, I can't wait. And God says, nope, keep your mouth shut. I can't wait, okay, nope. And he said, you can do it now. I want to teach on identity, who you are in Christ. So today is foundational. Today is foundational. It's just level one. Like if you build a house, you got to lay this foundation perfect. You got to measure it and keep it, you know, all that stuff. Because if you do not, and then you put the roof on, how many know a couple years later, you're going to have cracks in the wall? Yeah. All right, you can blame it, but anyway. So, okay, so I want to lay a foundation about identity. And if you're Pastor D, like, Pastor D, I'm good. I got this thing called identity. Good for you. Okay, and if you're like, Pastor D, this is really interesting. Good. Today's just round one, and really next week is where we really launch off. So I encourage you to come back. If you're listening online, hey, you guys, keep tuning in, okay? And if you've got some confusion or you're not sure, we are going to take the Word of God. We're going to open up and we're going to look at what God says about our identity, all righty? So, that's just a little fluff for the beginning. How many of you have ever been to a buffet? How many of you love buffets? Okay, how many of you know one that's really good in Lancaster? Yeah. Don't say it. We're not advertising. Okay. So I have some friends, and this was before COVID hit. They were going, their pastors, they were going to Las Vegas for a conference, a Christian concert. That is a good place to hold a Christian conference. Yeah? Las Vegas. All right. And my friend, not his wife so much, but he loves buffets. He loves buffets. So he got there and he Googled, Google, where's the top buffets? And it said the number one is Bellagio's. I've never been there, so I don't know. So he's telling me the story. So he trucks into Bellagio's and his wife, you know, they're at the buffet, and she gets her plate of salad and she puts all her little things on and she eats it. And then she goes back for a second plate of salad and all the little things and she eats it. And then she goes, I'm so full. Not my friend. He's like, a ninth plate. And listen, I paid big money, and they are going to regret the day I walked in here. Wah, you know. So here's the thing about buffets. They're kind of like a la carte. I'll take one of those. I'll take one of those. I'll take 10 of those king crab legs, okay? All right. So buffets are kind of like a la carte, all right? Pastor D, you're making me hungry. What are you doing with this? Okay, well, here's the thing. I really believe the people that live in this culture kind of have an a la carte buffet identity. A buffet identity. I'll take that one. That one sounds good. I'll be that one, or I'll do this one, or I'll do that one, okay? And here's the thing. There's only one person that knows what you should be putting on your plate, and his name is the Lord God, all right? And he will tell you through scriptures what you are and what you should be putting on your plate. So this is why I always say, hey, listen, take notes, write down scriptures. And some days I walk in here with 10 to 15 scriptures. I forgot to count how many I do today. But write these down. Go check me out. And next week, if you want to tap me on the shoulder, say, hey, Pastor D, I got another scripture you should have used. I would love to hear that, okay? So anyway, we're going to dig into the Bible. And if you say, hey, Pastor D, you know, we've got all this a la carte identities going on, that's really nice. But what you should say is, I am a believer. And I love it when you say you were raised in church, because some of you I've known since you were in my nursery, okay? And the Bible trumps everything. Okay, so that should be what we look at. And it's real interesting. You all come from different backgrounds, but the Bible trumps everything, all right? And you know what's interesting is that this identity label thing that's going on is really causing people to be confused, all right? And when I thought about it, the reason is because they've taken God out of the equation, all right? So if you're taking notes, I was like, oh, I wrote a good one. Here, you ready? You ready? Here, where's it? They're going to put it up on the screen, I think. I hope. Whatever. Ready? If you take God out of the equation, whatever it equals will always be wrong. You take God, the Word of God, out of anything that's going on, any equation, it's going to be wrong, all right? And then people get confused, okay? Now, not too long ago, time flies when you're having fun, I heard this news that says math is going to change. Math is going to change, all right? And it's like, because 2 + 2 might not equal 4. And I'm like, wait a minute, are you telling me this is real? Wait a minute, I had to memorize those multiplications and those additions and all that, and now you're going to tell me this is not real? I'm telling you, okay? And it's really, it's kind of confusing. Like 4 + 4 might not be today 8. It could be, maybe not, all right? And you think, Pastor D, this is radical. No, I'm telling you. And the reason why, if you take God out of any equation, not good. It actually causes confusion. And I know I just use this thing about math and stuff, but I'm saying it again. If you take God out of any situation, it will cause confusion, all right? So we don't want to do that. That was just my warm-up, okay? That was like the fluff over here. Ready? You ready to start? Here we go. All of us in here, all of us listening online, we all started at the same place. Write that down. We all started at the same place, okay? Now, let me tell you a story. One of my kids, not the one here with the long legs, actually the one with the shortest legs, decided she was going to go out for track. And I'm pretty sure it was because of a boy. I'm pretty sure that's the only reason why she did that. So I, like the good parent, went to my very first track meet. They had never been to one in my entire life. So I went to the track meet, and I'm watching this. And one of the things I noticed is all the runners, that, like, say you're running the 100-yard dash, the 50-yard dash, all of the runners started at the same place, right? Started at the same place. It wasn't like, oh, well, you have a blue shirt. I'm going to give you 50 yards ahead of everybody else. No. All the runners started at the same place, all right? So here's what I want you to hear. You all, we all, me all, we started at the same place. We started at the same place, okay? And someone might say, oh, well, Pastor D, I'm rich. I didn't start like them. I'm not talking about that, okay? I'm talking about, matter of fact, Ecclesiastes 5 says, y'all came, this is Cashman D version, y'all came in this world naked, you're all going out naked. All right, Ecclesiastes 5, somewhere in there, okay? And you know, you think when you die you're going to have clothes on. So, well, really, it's spiritually thinking. Y'all came in naked, y'all going to leave naked, all right? So when someone says, so it doesn't matter if you are rich or poor, we all started at the same place. Everybody say, I started at the same place. Tell that person next to you, we started at the same place. Okay. So turn over, let me start machine gunning some scriptures. Turn over to Romans chapter 3, verse 9. Romans 3, verse 9. This is the Apostle Paul, and he starts by asking a question, all right? He says this, what shall we conclude? Do we have any advantage? And then Paul answers it, and he says, not at all, for we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. Okay, do we have any people of Jewish descent? Guess what you are then? A Gentile, okay? So y'all, we're all, it says, under the power of sin. So Paul is saying, we all started at the same place. Under the power of sin. Under the power of sin. So we all started at the same place. I started at the same place. You started at the same place. We all started at the same place under the power of sin. Some of you look at me like, Pastor D, a little depressing. No. Listen, guys, this is foundation so you know who you are and where God wants you to go. So you have to get this, all right? All right. So. And you know the really crazy thing, I think I've told you before, when my brother had passed away when I was in high school, in college in the summer. In the fall, I went back to college, and by the time the fall was over, people shared the good news with me, and I received Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, and it changed me. It changed me. There were some things on the flesh that was working out, but it changed me on the inside. It was amazing. It was great. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how bad you are. We all started at the same place, okay? Now, here's the problem. Sometimes I forget, you know, because I've been walking with the Lord for 40 years. Sometimes I forget because of the way I'm living now and what God has done in my life. Sometimes we forget we all started at the same place, all right? And this is how you know if you forget that you started at the same place. You run into people who don't know Jesus. We call this the world. You run into those kind of people and you're like, they are a bunch of stupid idiots. I can't believe what they do. Oh, man, the world is going bad. They're all going to hell. That's, you know, if you are saying that, none of you said that, right? I know that. But if you say that, maybe somebody else says that, you know you forgot where you started because you all started in the same place. You may not have been that bad, but you all started in the same place, all right? Recently, I was watching a pastor online, and he actually started ratting on himself. Don't we love when I tell you my laundry? So he was telling his laundry, and he said he had just finished speaking at a large convention, a Christian conference, and it was at a civic center. He had just finished preaching. The service had closed. And the convention center right across the street was the hotel he was staying at. So he walks out of the meeting, and he's wearing a suit. He's an older gentleman. He's wearing a suit. Y'all know that. Not like Todd White. Whang! And he's got his shorts on. I just crack up when I see him, okay? So anyway, but this older gentleman preacher was walking out, and he's walking to the hotel. He gets into the hotel, and he goes into the hotel room, the elevator, and he's in the elevator with a bunch of young drunks. Bunch of young drunks. They're drunk. I mean, the smell was bad, and he's the preacher, just kind of got his suit on, and he's squished into this elevator with a whole bunch of these young guys that are all drunk, and he didn't elaborate on that, but what he did share is, in his mind, he said, these stupid punk kids. And he starts complaining. In his mind, he's I say that not everything in your head needs to go out of your mouth, but God is checking him on his head. And the Lord speak to him. Now, it's not a voice that he heard out here. It's called the still small voice. The Lord spoke to him, and he says, you used to be that. You have forgotten that you, he did a little repenting, okay? Because, guys, and we need to remember that we all started at the same place. Now, you didn't have to be the drunk in the elevator, but we all started in the same place. We all started in the same place. Okay, let me give you another scripture, Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Romans 3, verse 10. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's just going to dissect this really good. Listen, as the scripture says, no one is good. Now, listen to me. He's talking about before. Everybody say before. Before Jesus, all right? So don't get, listen, he's talking to about before. So no one is good before Jesus. No one in all the world is innocent, again, before Jesus, all right? Then verse 11, and no one has ever really followed God's path or even truly wanted to. Verse 12, everyone has turned away. All have gone wrong. No one anywhere has kept on doing what is right. No one. But we know one person. What's his name? He's the one that did it, okay? Amen, all right? Now, listen to the next couple verses. It's sort of what you see in the world. People who don't know Jesus, you're going to go, oh, yeah, Pastor D, this is the world. Listen to this, verse 13. Their talk is foul and filth like the stench of an open grave. Their tongues are loaded with lies. Everything they say has in it the sting and the poison of deadly snakes. Verse 14, their mouths are full of cursings and bitterness. They are quick to kill, hating everyone who disagrees with them. Okay, not long ago, and you might have seen it on the news, there was this lady who was riding the subway, and the guy behind her takes out his Bic lighter, Bic lighter, and lights her hair on fire. Anybody see that on news a couple months ago? Okay, now listen, she didn't mouth off in the beginning. You know, some of y'all, no, she's an older lady, and she's just sitting there minding her old business, and this guy whips out his lighter and lights her hair on fire, okay? So here's what I want you to hear. What do you think Christians should do? Because what happened is, a lot of people on that train saw that and got off at the next stop. Didn't help her. All right? And listen, if that was me, I would have taken off my coat, whatever, and tried to put her hair out, all right? And some of you, BC days before Jesus, you would have gone after the guy first. Take him down, stomp on him, and help the lady, right? Yeah, I know some of you, okay? Now, listen to verse 15 again. They are quick to kill, hating everyone who disagrees with them. All right? Now, it used to be, hey, you know, this is what I think, blah, 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 blah. And then you go, well, this is what I think, blah, 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 blah. And you go, well, we just choose to disagree. Not anymore, especially if you listen to last week. What do they do when you have a disagreement in the world? Click, block, click, cancel, right? That's what happens now. Cancel, okay? I guess all of us might be canceled by the end of the day. Praise the Lord. All right. Okay, keep reading. Jump down. Verse 16. Wherever they go, now we're talking about people who don't know the Lord, the world, okay? Wherever they go, they leave misery and trouble behind them, and they have never known what it's like to feel secure. The Greek word for secure there means peace. They have never known how to feel the peace and enjoy God's blessings. They care nothing about God nor what he thinks of them, okay? Hello? Sound like the culture we live in? Yeah, they don't care. Now, crazy, the Apostle Paul wrote this 2,000 plus years ago. They were going through some of the same stuff, okay? They may not have been able to block you or call cancel or anything like that, but they were going through the same stuff. And I really believe he wrote this for us today, okay? He wrote it because we're going to go through a whole bunch of stuff, amen? Yeah. All right, so again, we said we all started in the same place. Everybody say, I started in the same place. Here's the Apostle Paul, a scripture that just says it really good, and most of you know it, Romans 3:23. If you're taking notes, write this down. It says, for everyone has sinned. Look at your neighbor and say, are you everyone? Now look at them and say, did you sin? Well, my Bible says everyone has sinned, right? Okay, keep reading. So everyone has sinned, for we all fall short of the glorious standard of God, okay? So this scripture says we all started in the same place. We all started as sinners, okay? Now, it's going to get good. Just hang in there, okay? Let's see. So what I want to do, that's our foundation. We all started the same place. I want to talk about life before. Life before. Before I had four kids, I weighed 118 pounds. Dear Jesus, long time ago. Before you had hair on your head. But I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about life before Jesus. Life before Jesus, okay? And we need to remember we all started the same place, okay? So here's number one if you're taking notes. Before my life before Jesus, number one, we all started out sinners, okay? Again, this is before, okay? Before. Now, I am going to say, especially next week, you're going to hear me, but today we're talking about life before. But later on we're going to say, I'm not a sinner. I'm forgiven. I'm saved by grace. But today we're going to talk about life before, okay? And we need to remember, listen to this. You need to remember your lineage. Sinner! Okay, here's this quick story. Back in Tulsa, my friend Rex. Rex was telling us a story one time. He had been to this little meeting, and he said, you know, I was at this meeting, and this lady came up, and she says, well, I used to be Catholic. Another lady said, I used to be Baptist. And Rex got it. He says, I used to be a sinner. He got it. He knew where he started from, okay? That was before, alrighty? So turn to Romans chapter 5 now, Romans 5 verse 12. He's going to kind of give, this is the Apostle Paul, he'll give this whole idea of being a sinner, okay? Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans 5, verse 12. When Adam sinned, back in the garden, who sinned first? Adam. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone has sinned. Okay? You got it? Kind of. Says it's there, okay? Verse 13, yes, people sinned even before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. All right, so before the law, in the Old Testament, before the law was given, the law where Moses gave, okay, people sinned, but it wasn't counted. All right, it wasn't counted. It was like they'd never sinned because the law hadn't been given. But guess what, y'all? We live on the other side. We live on the new covenant, and we don't have the law to jump through hoops. The only thing we do is love God, love people. There's a song out now. Love God, love people. That's all we're responsible. We are the new covenant. Love God, love people, okay? Okay, keep reading. Verse 14. Still, everyone died from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God as Adam did, okay? Now, get this, guys. Adam sinned in the garden, and we all get the free gift of sin. thanks, Adam. Okay, but really, this is what, that's all that said. You all got the free gift of sin, okay? Now, when I say sin, I'm not talking about what you did today before you got here. Yelling at, no, I'm not talking about last week, all right? All right? But you sin because Adam sinned. You sin because Adam sinned. And we all start there, all right? Somebody's like, oh, Pastor D, you don't know what I did last night. It was crazy. I'm not talking about that. That's not what it's talking about. And please don't tell me, all right? Okay, because I just believe the best of you, okay? But the sin that they're talking about is the sin that'll keep you out of heaven. The sin that'll keep you out of heaven is not what you did yesterday. The sin that'll keep you out of heaven is if you do not receive Jesus into your life. It's the only sin that keeps you out of heaven, okay? If you never receive Jesus, that'll keep you out of heaven. That is called the sin of not receiving Jesus, okay? So because of Adam, we all sinned. Yay! Okay? Now, in order to get out of Adam's sin, you have to receive Jesus. Ta-da! All right? In order to get out of that sin, for all of sin, you know, the way to get out of that is to simply receive Jesus Christ into your Lord, in your life. Amen? Okay, moving along. So we are we all start at the same place, and we are all sinners. Number two, if you're taking notes, we are all nothing. Everybody look at that person and say, you're nothing. You're nothing. All right? Now, what do I mean when I say this? Actually, I've seen this. You know, when you finally receive Jesus and you start becoming a follower and you start reading your Bible and you start understanding who God is and what I'm called to be like and my identity and that, sometimes we can get into this status thing. We kind of have a status, okay? And I've heard this before. Oh, you know, the fivefold ministries, you know, apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, pastors. Woo, their status, man. You know. Listen, some people, I did not raise my hand for this. Number one, God called me to be a pastor, and God's called you to do different things, and it's not status. And actually, I figured out, I don't know nothing. I am really nothing. I am nothing except for with God. I am nothing without God, all right? So some of you know this, but I guarantee after every message that I ever speak up here or share, I always go, God, to you be all the glory for the great things you've done. Because I have realized I am nothing. I am nothing. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor D. Okay. Amen. Some of you are like, oh, that's so sweet. Well, listen, you of your own self is nothing, all right? So we have to understand that. Let me give a good scripture for that. Every scripture is good, Pastor D. But turn over to Galatians 6:3. All right, this is Paul. He says, Galatians 6:3, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. That's that scripture, okay? So I don't want to be in life, you know, a nothing, and I think I'm something. Listen, I figured out I am nothing except for by the grace of God and by his mercy and by his salvation. I am nothing, all right? Picture this. Pastor Sherry and I have gone to this ministers' conference. So much fun. And some of the biggies show up, you know? And like Andrew Womack walks in and, oh, that's Andrew Womack. He's on TV. Oh, Andrew, you should sit up here. Whoa. Or how about Andrew Womack walks in and he just is like, I'm going to sit back there with Matt and Julie. And somebody comes up, Andrew, don't they know who you are? What are we? Nothing. And if one person knows that is Andrew Womack, we are nothing except by the grace of God. Amen. Praise God. We are sinners saved by grace. Hallelujah. And we are nothing. All right. Turn over to Isaiah. Turn over to Isaiah. You know, there's a lots of confusion going on identity, but listen to what Isaiah 64 says. Isaiah 64, verse 8. You, O Lord, you are Father, And you know, listen, the Jews in the Old Testament, they did wacko stuff, but the one thing they knew God was their father. They knew it. You couldn't talk them out of it, and they were always throwing it down. So here they go. You, O Lord, you are our father. We are nothing but clay, and you are the potter who molded us, all right? So when I grew up in Jersey, maybe you get old, you just forget it, but it was like living the dream. There were like five families that had six kids on them. You talk about, let's have a baseball team and a football team. So we just had tons of kids. But one of the families, they were five boys, God bless them, and one girl in the family. Six kids, five boys, one girl. And their dad used to be a Marine. Then he served as a Marine and then got married, had five boys and one girl. And he used to say this to his boys. I actually heard it one time. I was like, whoa. He said, I brought you into this world and I'll take you out. He would say that all the time to his boys. Never said it to his daughter, little Janie. I brought you into this world and I'll take you out, okay? Now, when my friend, so I was older than Janie. I was friends with the guys. And one of them, Joe said, it was in high school. All of a sudden, Joe shot up like 4 inches. 4 inches taller than his dad. And then he started lifting weights with his brother. And he was thinking, I'll take you out, Dad. Just, okay. But my friend Joe did say, he said, listen, I respected my dad. I could have taken him out. No, I respected my dad. So he'd always say, my dad is the potter and I am the clay. Okay, why am I saying this? Listen, guys, God is the potter. You are the clay, okay? And Paul says this same thing in Romans chapter 9, verse 20. Romans chapter 9, verse 20. But my friend, I ask you, little hit, who do you think you are to question God? Does the clay have the right to answer the potter? Why did you shape me that way? I love that. Who do you think you are to question God, all right? Now, it's really interesting. Now we do kidding around. I don't know how many times I've said, because my sister Mary had long legs and she was thin. I'm like, God, did you make a mistake? I should have had the long legs. I'm real thin. Some of you guys are like, I should have been 6'4 and 250 pounds, okay? But listen, that scripture says, you don't go complaining to the potter. By the way, I found out I am his masterpiece. I am who he made me, and I am his masterpiece, and I am delighted. Even though my legs are not long. Amen. Okay. So no complaining, right? Amen? Amen? Okay, so we just went over a bunch of scriptures. Number one, we all started the same place. We are all sinners. And y'all nothing, okay? Now listen to, this is going to be point number three. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 8, 2. Okay, let me turn my page because I missed it. Sometimes I just get it going. Maybe y'all put it up on the screen for me because I lost it. 1 Corinthians 8, 2. Oh, thank you. I love my guys back there. And so occasionally you have girls, okay? And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing, as yet he ought to. Everybody say, you don't know anything. You don't know anything, okay? So that's number three, you don't know anything. Now, some of you are like, don't you tell me I don't know anything. Did you not look at my degrees? And by the way, I know some things and I've got degrees because I'm still paying off the debt, okay? Now listen, I never put down people going for degrees. Please get them. And I'll tell you the things I want to see because I need some help, all right? But he's not talking about this, all right? And I will have to say, I've learned a few things. I've read my Bible a few things. I study a few things. I know this message, but there are some days it is really real. The more I know, the more I figured out I don't know, except through him, all right? And it's a good way to keep yourself, all right? I know nothing, all righty. Praise God. Here's number four. Okay, so this is the Apostle Paul, and then Jesus comes up and says almost the same thing. Listen to this. John 15, verse 5. John 15, verse 5. This is Jesus. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. All right? Now I get it. You can do a whole lot of stuff, right? So I know what you do for a living. I just know how smart you are. But, you know, you can do a lot of stuff. But here's the thing. Being a Christian, being a follower, being a believer, okay, when I disconnect from him, I really can't do a whole lot. I really can't, all right? Now, there's some stuff you can do. Come to my house. I have a whole honey-do list, and I will give you the stuff you can do for me, all right? But it's not talking about that, all right? It's when you disconnect from him. Years ago, I was out in Tulsa for a ladies' conference, and I got to hear Patsy Caminetti. You can Google her later. Amazing teachings on prayer. And I remember this like it was yesterday. She was talking, and she said, life is like a vacuum cleaner. And I was like, where is she going with this? But she said, life is like a vacuum cleaner. You vacuum the carpet, and if it unplugs from the outlet, you don't have any more power, right? And you can go through the motion. But you're not going to pick up any dirt. Why? You unplugged from the power, all right? So she said, Christians, we can go through life vacuuming, but if you unplug from him, the vine, it talked about the vine, you are okay? You're not picking up any dirt. You're not doing the things that God has for you. You're not walking in the blessings. You don't know who you are. So stay connected. And broken record, this is a good way to stay connected, y'all, daily. You stay connected like that. All right. And, you know, I've seen people just disconnect. I've seen churches disconnect. And listen, we are living in the last of the last days. And, man, we need the power of God. We need to stay connected in it. And God wants to do great things, but he does it through us. So stay connected. Amen? All right. Here's my last one, number 5. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Here we go. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Okay, so all of us were dead, right? We know that. Verse 2. In which you once walked according to the course of the world. Okay, if you're taking notes, number 5. You were all walking in the wrong course. You all, me all, we all were on the wrong course. We were on the wrong course, okay? I got on the right course about 40 years ago, the day I received Jesus. I got on the right course. And if you've received Jesus, you've got on the right course. And if you haven't, by the end of the service, I'll give you an opportunity to get on the right course. And how many know the right course of life is better than the wrong course? I lived about 20 years on the wrong course. Thought I was having fun. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, okay? How many of you have cell phones? Duh, Pastor D. How many of you, better yet, how many of you use your cell phone for directions? Google Maps, whatever like that, all right? I love it, okay? Now, before the GPS that's out on your dashboard, before, how many had the AAA flip maps? You go to AAA and you go, I want to go to Tulsa. And they give you like 17 pages and you flip it, and they highlight it, okay? Because we had them, all right? Okay, I would get lost on the flip maps. I don't know if I skipped 3 pages. I couldn't figure out what we were doing. So we decided I'd be the driver and Jack would be the master flipper. We didn't get lost, okay? I'd be the driver and he'd be doing the master flipper, okay? We didn't get lost. So here's the interesting thing about this. Now, I have a cell phone, Google Maps, okay, and it'll say, turn right 1,000 feet. Now, Sherry said something to me, and I said, I am not. She was right. I kind of get a little spazzed out because I don't know what 1,000 feet is. I get what? Stressful. I argued with her. I do not. But Google will say to me, in 1,000 feet, turn right. And then it says, in 500 feet, turn right. With 500 feet. Then it yells, turn right now. I was like, yay. Okay. Meanwhile, I was chewing up Sherry, and she's just so sweet to me, okay? So we're good. We turned right, okay? Here's the way God looks at us, okay? God looks at us. We're on the wrong course. Okay, I don't know the Lord Jesus. You're on the wrong course if you don't know Jesus. We're all sinners, okay? We all started. We're on the wrong course, okay? And then whether you heard preaching at church, you went to a grow group, or you got to talk to me, okay, whatever it is, one day you heard that voice that says, you're on the wrong course. Turn. And guess what you do? You turn on the right course. How many of you have turned on the right course? Okay, so we all started. Okay, if you're taking notes, quick review. Here we go. We all started out as sinners. You got to know that, okay? And that's before, okay? We are all nothing without him. We know nothing. We can do nothing. We are all on the wrong course. All right, now let me give you some good news. Thank Jesus. She was a little depressing. No, so let me give you some good news, all right? Ephesians. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. And again, I have to say this. Today, you have to have this foundation. You have to know this. This is actually identity 101 in the Bible. You have to know that we all started this place. We all were sinners. We all knew nothing, okay? So we can get to who you really are, your identity, okay? Come back next week. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Ephesians 2, 4. Whoops, wrong one. Ephesians 2, 4. By the way, this is good news. I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation. Okay, it says this. But God still loved us with such great love. Raise your hand if you're so glad God still loved you when you were a sinner. Oh, man, am I glad, all right? He is so rich in compassion and mercy. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, that's who God is. He united us into the very life of Christ and saved us from this by his wonderful grace. He raised us up with Christ and the exalted one, and we ascended with him into this glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm, for we are now co-seated. The Greek means co-equal with Jesus. Everybody say, I'm a co-equal. All right. I'm co-seated. All righty. I'm co-seated. Now, y'all sitting in blue seats, right? You're sitting in blue seats. But this says, spiritually, you are seated with him in heavenlies. Amen. That's who you are now. I am seated within him, heavenlies. Okay, spiritually, you are seated in heavens. I love it. It's amazing. Keep reading. Verse 7. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite riches of his grace and his kindness, which he showered upon us in Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Nothing you did could ever earn this salvation, for it was the love gift of God, from God, that brought you to Christ. Okay. So, isn't it nice to know that one day you heard the voice, you were on the wrong course, turn right, and God, I'm on the right course, all because of his love. Man, it's his love. All right, one more scripture, I promise. Here we go. Romans 13. No, I don't promise. Romans 13. Yes, I do promise. Romans 13. This is the Apostle Paul. He is not writing to the world. He is not writing to people who don't know Jesus. He is writing to the church. He is writing to believers. He is writing to you and I. And listen to what he says. Romans 13, 11. And do this. Understand this present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. Okay. So what do you think we're supposed to wake up to? Wake up. Wake up. Well, how about we wake up to what this world is trying to push us all around? How about you wake up to who God says you are? How about we wake up? All right? So Paul's just getting a little, wake up, all right? Wake up, all right? And listen, maybe God's dealing with you that it's time to wake up to him. You've been just, it's time to wake up to him. Praise God, all right? And I don't want to be the sleeping church. I want to, and listen, the Holy Spirit's job is to wake you up. And my job is to help the Holy Spirit so you all aren't sleeping. And I do it through the Word of God. Okay, spoken in love, all right? So let's keep reading. Verse 11. The last part. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Paul wrote this 2,000 years ago, and he's like, it's near. How much nearer do you think it is now? It's near. It's like, woo, it's near. Okay, this is now. It's near, all right? Then verse 12. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let's put aside. Everybody say, put aside. The deeds of darkness. He's talking to the Christians. Okay, Christians, put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. I love that. Put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in daytime, not carousing and drunkenness and sexual immorality, debauchery, not in dissension, not in jealousy. Rather, what? Clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. He only listed a little list on the desires of the flesh there, okay? But so let's get practical, all right? How do I put on Jesus? Okay, how do I clothe myself with Jesus? Well, I got clothed this morning. Aren't you glad? Yep, she put on clothes. I am glad that you put on clothes, okay? Right? But how do I, how do you and I, as a believer, one who loves the Lord, has been forgiven, no longer sin. How do I clothe myself, okay? How do I put on Jesus? We apply what's written in here, okay? You apply what's written in here. You apply it, okay, daily, okay? Love God, love people. Okay, so what does that look like, all right? So let's just say your marriage is a little bit on the rocks, okay? And I love doing this to guys, but the Bible says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. So how do you apply that? Well, you don't know the woman she is. Oh, my gosh, she says this, she says that. Rah, 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 rah. And you can go on the merry-go-round. Rah, 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 and somebody's got to jump off and just apply. Love your wife like Christ loved the church. And even if they're doing that, just start, okay? Start applying as you daily go into the Word of God and you hear something, apply it. Apply it. And the easy way is start saying it, okay? You know that lady who had her hair put on fire? How does a Christian put on Jesus there? You get up and help that lady, you rescue her, right? You don't get off at the station. Dear Jesus, okay? All right. How about this one? How about your friend, your church friend? They have just wronged you. Wah! In church? Yeah, church people wrong people, okay? So how do you put on Jesus? If you were here last week, you know the answer to that. Step one, go to them and talk, right? Apply the Word of God. Apply the Word of God, okay? Okay, so next week we're going to talk about who you are in Jesus. So come back. I think we should pray. Oh, praise the Lord. Close your eyes. Don't look at me. Bow your heads. No, seriously. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you reveal truth. There's been so much said, and Lord, I've done my best to give your word, to rightly divide it. But I thank you, Holy Spirit, you're just... keep this before, you know, people's hearts, Lord. And if the Holy Spirit's just pointing something out, maybe it's time to make an adjustment. Maybe it's time to make an adjustment. Maybe it's time to stop thinking yourself so big and mighty and remember that neighbor of yours that is a royal, Father, that they don't know you and you started that place. And to pray for them and go love them the way Christ would love them. Okay, so just, you know, everybody say, Holy Spirit, you speak to my heart. I have ears to hear. I will obey. Okay, listen, guys, God called us out of darkness into his light. Amen. Praise God. I'm so glad. 40 years ago. I can't believe it's 40 years. Woo! 40 years ago, someone told me, you are in darkness, that you are a sinner, and that you need the light, you need Jesus. And I was in a place that says, yes, simply, Lord Jesus, I love you. I receive you, and now I love you. So I just want to toss this out. I want to give you an invitation. If you're here and you have seen that you are all started at the same place, that you're a sinner, but today, would you hear the voice of the Lord saying, would you come? Would you invite me into your life? And I will put you on the right course. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor D, I've been on the wrong course. I'm on the wrong course, but I see my eyes are open and my heart's almost like pounding today. That's the Holy Spirit saying today's the day. And it's real simple to receive Jesus and get on the right course. It really is simple. It's really simple. It's simply, the Bible says, whoever would believe in their heart that Jesus is Lord and confess with their mouth that he's the Savior and God sent him, bam, Jesus would come into your life. And you'd be a child of God. So if there's anybody here that would say, Pastor D, please pray for me. I want to pray for you. And it's real, real simple. Again, I said, we're just, let me say this after me. And I know there's so many of you that have said this. So how about we say it with them? All right. So if you're here, I'm not going to make you come up front. Okay. But how about you say this out loud? And someone said, well, how do you know? Just say it so like you mean it. All right. Say it like you mean it. So everybody say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross for me, a sinner. And I believe that you raised him up and he is seated in the heavenlies. And today, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Come into my life. I take you as my Savior. And I ask you to be the Lord of my life. Amen. And I will follow you all the days of my life. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that for the first time, the Bible says heaven goes and has a celebration. And I don't know what it looks like, but listen, hallelujah. We pray. We're just going to celebrate. Somebody has come into the family of God, and God is just thrilled to have you in his family. Amen. If you prayed this for the first time, I want to give you a Bible, and I also have a mini book, and I want to give you a hug, and I promise I'll let you go home, all right? But we're so thrilled. So why don't you stand up? Praise God. Praise God. Come back next week. Find out who you are now that you have received Jesus. Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you they are blessed coming in and blessed going out, that you have great plans for them in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Coffee's good and hot.